You're listening to LGRadio.online. I'm Leo Green, and you're listening to In Conversation. Episode of In Conversation with Van Morrison, Van was telling us about some of the deals he got stuck with as a young artist. Van, I guess you must have been one of the first artists really to sort of go independent with regards to production. How did that all come about?
Well, it just, again, it happened through circumstances because I wasn't getting paid and I didn't have any money. So what happened was, got to the point where I couldn't do it, because if I wasn't getting the money, then I couldn't do it, because people needed to get paid. I needed to like rent a house or whatever, and I needed money. So I remember being in a phone box, and I called Joe Smith at Warner Brothers. I called them Collect, actually. And he said, "Why are you calling me Collect?" I said, "Because I'm broke. I'm calling you Collect because I'm broke." So he said, "Well, you know, we could give you, like, you know, blah, 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 give you another deal, you know?" And I said, "Well, okay, well, if you're going to give me another deal, the prerequisite is I need to own the masters, because I'm just tired of all this crap of not owning my own stuff." So I said, "You know, if you want to do that, we can do another deal if you want to go down that road. If you don't want to go down that road, tell me. I'm not interested. I'll just go and I'll hustle gigs and I'll do what I have to do. Yeah. I'm not interested in any more of this. I've had enough of this. So it would have to be direct with you. It would have to be my own production deal. I have to own the masters." So that was a step towards that eventually happening, right? Which, because he agreed to it, and he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, what he said was, the only person that's got that is Phil Spector." I said, "Well, that's good then, isn't it? You know, somebody's got it. You know, I just want to have my own stuff." So eventually that happened, right? I had to go direct and become the producer, because being an artist, so it was a losing game. So if you read the contract, you know, it says artist, so producer, you know, it said producer, masters, and then down here, artists. It always said producers, masters. So I thought, well, I'll be the producer, and then I'll produce me, who's the artist. So it's a kind of a, you know, dual. You have two jobs, you know, but you need to have the two jobs to get rid of all this middle people stuff, you know. So becoming the producer, producing the artist, that's the way to go, that, you know. Because the artist always gets screwed, you know, every time. And sometimes the producer does as well, but not as badly, because, you know, then the producer has to audit the record company later on. But by that time, luckily, he's got enough money to audit them. You know, you never get all of it, never. You can get some of it back, you know. Well, some of it you're owed that you would never get without an audit. So if you can't do an audit, you're not going to get anything really substantial. You know what I mean? That's just life. Yeah. I mean, that goes back to day one. You know what I mean? I mean, what other way is there? You have to pay a price. Everything's got a price. Yeah. So you don't just go in the business, start off, and everything's hunky-dory. That's fantasy. That's not going to happen. You have to work through all this. I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, you could say, well, the Solomon brothers ripped me off. But if Mervyn Solomon didn't come to your gig, right, and didn't give me a contract, then there wouldn't have been anything. You know what I'm saying? So you have to start somewhere. Yeah. And of course, that's the way it is, even now, you know. And it was probably actually better then, because there was less of it. You know, there was less of it. There was just a physical record. Right. You know, now it's like digital, cloud, Spotify. You know, it's all, you know, because there's more of it now. It's got more chance of being ripped off than you have not then. So actually then it was quite simple. You knew, you know, you're going to have to pay a price to get where you want to get. Yeah. And that's how it is. And if nobody wanted to pay that price, then they shouldn't be in it. They shouldn't be in it. Because let's face it, I mean, they were giving me where would I got the opportunity? I could probably gone around, you know, Timbuktu to get an opportunity like that and maybe never gotten it. So. Yeah. You have to look at it in a philosophical way, because you still have to go through the system. I mean, you know, these so-called independent record companies, that's a joke, because they have to go through either Warner Brothers, BMG, Sony, Universal, EMI. So there's no such thing. It doesn't exist. There's a lot of idealism and there's great ideas, but, you know, I mean, you could get to the point where you just, well, I'm just going to sell my stuff on a website and then go direct to iTunes, which is, it's always a choice. That's a choice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good choice, actually.
Sure. And whilst the nature of the production deal and your recording contracts changed, what about your methods of songwriting? Have they changed much, really, since the early days of Astro Weeks and Woodstock and that period to today? Has there been much change in how you go about writing songs?
Yeah, it has, because, I think I'm writing more, you know, stuff I write now would be more realistic. It was more idealistic then rather than realistic. Although I was writing those type of things then also, but they weren't making it on the album. Like, for instance, recently I did an interview with somebody. There's a book coming out about Woodstock, where I briefly was. And so I did an interview about, you know, my experience of Woodstock, the place, and people I was involved with there. And when I recorded Moondance, I was, you know, commuting from Woodstock to New York to do it. And I had to put myself on as a session singer, or I wouldn't get paid anything, you know. And this is what Joe Smith told me, because I told him that, listen, I'm not getting paid. How can I make an album for you? I can't do it. You know, I'm not getting any money. So he said, well, why don't you put yourself on as a session singer? At least you get something. So that's how we got it done. My band was in the MU, and I was in the Singers Union. I forget what the name is. In New York, does it have a union for session singers? So I was actually a session singer on my own albums, and that's how I got paid. You know, it's the session. I didn't get the whole thing. I just got the session fee. Right. But at least it was enough to, like, eat, to be able to eat, you know?
Taking any chances, but meet them halfway with love, peace, and persuasion, and expect them to rise for the occasion. And it gratifies when you see it materialize right in front of your eyes. By surprise.
So during that period, there was 10 songs ended up in that album, but I also wrote other songs that really don't know at the same time, which is actually about the real predicament, what I was going through.
Really don't know. Really don't know. Just what's wrong. Feel like don't belong. Just can't get together. today. Anyway, keep on raining more and more every day. Yeah, and I wide a sense. To the sky, but the sky may fall. See through my eye, but my eye don't see it all.
One wonderful remark during that period, which was about my actual real predicament. Wonderful remark didn't come out until much later, where Robbie Robertson produced it for King of Comedy soundtrack.
How can you stand the silence that pervades when we all cry? How can you watch the violence that erupts before your eyes? How can you tell us something just to keep us hanging on? Something lets us don't mean nothing when we see it, you are gone. Clinging to some other rainbow, or standing waiting in the cold, telling us the same old story, knowing time is growing old. That was a wonderful remark. I had my eyes closed in the dark. I saw a million sights. How can we listen to you when we know your talk is cheap? How can we ever question why we give more and you keep? How can your empty laughter fill the room like all the joy when you're only playing with us like a child with a toy? How can we ever feel the freedom or the flame that fires a spark? How can we ever come out even when reality is stark? That was a wonderful remark. I had my eyes closed in the dark.
Van Morrison live at Montreux in the late 1990s. And that concludes this episode of In Conversation here on LGRadio.online with me, Leo Green, where my very special guest has been Van Morrison. Please do check the website out, LGRadio.online, to find out when once again we'll be in conversation with Van Morrison. This is LGRadio.online. Thanks for listening.